B63. Number 3B.
All right. So we have seen truth, life, love. And we go back to page 66 in the study aid. And we want to see how this Christ is exemplified through synonymous terms when the Christ is operating on the level of Christian Science. When the Christ in Christian Science means that it is the Christ that comes to error and corrects an error. So, Mrs. Eddy gives us in the translation of Immortal Mind, gives us the order of the seven synonymous term that depict the Christ translation in the following order: divine principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. What we call the Christ order, the order which you know very well. And therefore, at this moment, we would come really to investigate that order in Christian Science. In order to do that, we turn to the big subject of the Christ translation, of the two translations as we have it in the textbook on page 115 and 16. We have this text in the study aid on page 49. So, we tackle this most important question of the two translations, which, as we call them, the translation, scientific translation of immortal mind and scientific translation of mortal mind, in order that we not always have to spell out that long title. We call it usually the first translation and the second translation, though we know that actually there is a kind of a third translation or a wrong translation, as we have seen this morning, namely there where she says that the material senses and human conceptions would translate spiritual ideas into material beliefs. That would be the mistranslation. We have also seen, is that what she explains in that article in Mr. Lenin's writings about rectification? Unity. Oh, thank you. Yes, we have seen that error comes into manifestation. I don't want to say into existence. By a false translation from God to man, saying God creates evil, God knows evil, and therefore I'm afraid of evil. That's what we do. We translate that. That's not a fact in being. It's neither a fact of God nor a fact of evil. We are to be blamed if we deduce that way. That's the wrong translation, and therefore that has to be retranslated. It must be, we must go back and rectify that by reversal in order to go out from God and deduce from God to idea. And that is shown in this first translation, which we have here on page 49, and it's just a whole text of the textbook, and so we can consider it. There are various points that have to be clarified and where we have to put some kind of an accent on some terms in order not to miss really the meaning of that Christ translation. First of all, it's interesting to see that the title is Scientific Translation of Immortal Mind, and that's a wording that Mrs. Eddy gave only as late as 1901. Until 1901, she had something else, namely Scientific Definition of Immortal Mind. Now, you may say, well, that doesn't matter very much. If I have a scientific definition of immortal mind or a scientific translation of immortal mind, no, that's something very different. And it is just that point that misleads many students, because when then they start reading what is underneath, namely there where the side note is Divine Synonyms, and then the subtitle God, and where we get the synonymous terms in the Christ order, namely Divine Principle, Life, Truth, Love, Soul, Spirit, Mind, the student may say to himself, well, here we have another definition of God. And this is not a definition of God. Not at all. It is defining the translation of God. It's the Christ translation, and therefore defines the way God translates himself. And that's something very different. Therefore, you can also see that Mrs. Eddy puts that term divine before the first synonymous term, meaning that all these synonymous terms have the accent on divine, so that it shows that it is a translation from the divine. And if we see that, we know that divine is always that tonality of the Christ, just as you have in the definition of God on page 465, you have those four adjectives, which says incorporeal, which is the Word, then divine, which is the Christ, supreme Christianity, infinite science. So out of those four, out of that definition of God, she picks out the divine in order to show, I define now not God, but I define now the translation. So she defines how God translates itself. What is the Christ nature within God that is activated when God translates itself to the point of man and idea? If we have a definition of God, then we define the nature of God. That's what the definition of God means. A definition of God must define God as God is. Therefore, it defines God as the nature, essence, and wholeness of God, whereas the Christ does not define the nature of God. It defines how God translates himself to idea and to man. Which brings us to another quite interesting, or say important point. Namely, I remember way back when, say, John Dole introduced us into the study of the synonym and then to the orders and said, look here, you have studied over years and years, we have just been studying the word order, you know, round about from 37 until nearly 1939, 1940, 41, We constantly studied the word order, the Genesis order, the days of creation order. We were always constantly in the word. And when he suddenly said, look here, we must be aware that this synonymous term can also be arranged differently, and they are arranged differently when they indicate not the word, but when they indicate the Christ or Christianity or science, then the order changes. And I remember very well at that time we were really all greenhorns in that whole subject, that we are saying, oh yes, that's interesting, the order is now a bit different, so that makes quite a nice variation. And they're saying, all right, yes, the Christ is actually principle, life, truth, and love, soul, spirit, mind, wonderful. And we didn't have the faintest idea what it really meant. Why, really, this order was different. I must agree and accept, confess that we didn't really know why. We learned it by heart that the order is different, but what does it matter if you learn something by heart? That doesn't really mean being. It doesn't become being. Only when one understands why it is different, and especially when one understands why it must be that way, why it can't be another order, only when one begins to understand that, then one has a kind of understanding, then it becomes reality, then it becomes really an element with which we can work. So when I look back to that period, in the beginning of the 40s, we were just thinking that way, and therefore we are making the following mistake. We were saying, yes, now what does it mean? And you see, the mistake we made, we treated then, I mean individually, the student like I, we treated then this order as if it were a definition of God. And therefore would take principle and put just some ideas in principle, which we knew from our list of ideas. And they're saying, well, here principle means this, a governing or system or spiritual power, or it means government, it means harmony. And so then we took life and put some ideas into life, which we knew from our list of ideas, and defined life through some ideas which came into our mind. Can you see, we were actually at that time treating these synonymous terms as if they were the definition of God, or were in the Word. Where was the mistake? The mistake was actually there, that we didn't treat it as a translation. Therefore, what means translation? We should first ask ourselves, what means translation? Translation means that we take the generalities of God and translate it into the specifics of God. Huh? That would have been the very first point to remember, which would show us it must be a process of translation and not a definition of the nature of each synonymous term. Second, we would have to say this translation is really the Christ's office. It's really that what the Christ means, and the Christ means at this point the translation of God to idea, therefore means a power. A divine power, that's why it starts with divine, a divine power that can translate itself to the point of individual ideas. It must have, therefore, that flow of that waterfall, Niagara Fall. I'm very proud now, and I know how to pronounce it. And therefore we must see that this synonymous term must have a different accentuation, namely always the accentuation of the Christ power that translates itself, that expresses itself. Must always have the expressing nature of power that begins to translate the generality to the specifics. Did I put that clear? Yes? Because if we don't do that, then we misuse, we mispractice that Christ order. It has no power, it has no sense in it. So, what we would have to do, and that naturally is something that the individual student has to feel out. Now, which ideas, say here of principle, are ideas that express really that Christ power translation? If we take life, what are the ideas that express the Christ power of translation in life? If we go to truth, what are the ideas of truth that express the Christ translating power? Do I express myself clearly? If we have love, we must ask, what ideas are those ideas that express the Christ translating power to the specifics? Yes? So we are not taking those ideas that are building up the world, that are building up the creative work of the world order. But we have here the ideas that accentuate really the translating power. So that we constantly feel more and more with every synonymous term, we feel more and more that waterfall just coming down on us, with a terrific power which cannot be resisted by anything. And so with soul and with spirit and with mind. Therefore, if we want to get the spiritual touch, the spiritual feel of the Christ translation, we must first ask ourselves what are the ideas that would accentuate this translating power. Now, we have the situation naturally that is general in Christian Science that words are actually always insufficient to express the spiritual tonality. And further we know from linguistics, we know that the term does not mean much by itself, that the term only really means something in relation, that meaning of a term is relational. And so it is not always easy to just pinpoint really the tonality of a synonymous term. But as you have seen in studying the book on the seven synonymous terms, which I hope you have done, I have tried, and I say specifically tried, because I don't want that that is to be regarded as the one and all and everything, to give some kind of a touch of that Christ translation. It is here in the study aid on page 52. So we just can turn to that page, 52. This is from the synonym book, so that if you don't have the synonym book here, we can do it with the study aid. And there I have again the Christ order, as you see in the column on the right hand side are the synonyms as given on page 115, namely principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. You see there that I tried to show that in that translation there are two aspects that have to be considered, namely the subjective aspect. Perhaps it would have been a help if I had said the divinely subjective aspect, the subjective aspect from the point of the one being, what being knows, that's the divinely subjective aspect. And then between love and soul, where the translation takes place to the objective, you have there under the dotted line the objective sense, but that objective sense is also the divinely objective sense. It's not the human objective sense, which would show what does the Christ do when the Christ translates God to the point of individual situation. It means that the Christ takes the whole person of God, expresses therefore that person which is divinely, the divine subject, takes that person of God, that divine subject, that divine ego, translates it so that it manifests itself divinely objectively, namely as idea. It objectifies itself as divine objective ideas through soul, spirit, mind. And we'll see that when we consider the Christ order a bit more specifically. How do we do that? We have next to that column are three other columns. The next one is the divine standpoint. Can you see that on the top? And the last two ones are together the human standpoint. Why this? What does translation mean? It wants to translate God to mortals. So the translation wants to translate the divine standpoint to the human standpoint, so that the human standpoint can be blessed by the divine standpoint, can understand the divine standpoint. So a translation must therefore take in, because it, perhaps I must say that, you know, we are on the level of Christian Science, and the level of Christian Science has to do how the divine comes down to the material level of things, to the erroneous level of things, and begins to translate it back to the divine. So it must take in always truth and error. It must take in the divine standpoint and the human standpoint. And we'll see why that is so necessary to know how these synonymous terms express themselves in those two different standpoints. So first of all, let us take the divine standpoint. What means the divine standpoint? It means the divinely, oh here we have it, the divinely subjective / divinely objective standpoint. So the standpoint is all here in that whole column is how does God himself translate himself, what God does himself know about that translation, what is divine, if we sit on the throne of grace at the right hand of the Almighty and say, I look out and I see how I translate myself to the point of ideas, what do I see? So at that point, the erroneous standpoint is not yet taken into consideration, but first, how does God see how the translation takes place? Can you therefore take that attitude that you say, now I just imagine myself sitting on the throne in heaven with God, and I'm now for a while play God. I sit there, and what can God know? What does God know and see when he contemplates himself as the Christ, manifestation, as the Christ translating himself to the point of idea? And if we take in that standpoint, then we can see what happens here.